June 12th, 2013 is the Watt from Pedro Show.
Thank you.
Show. Hey, Brother Matt, how are you?
Excellent, excellent.
Back at the Love Grotto. Last week you got your hands all tied up, right?
Yeah, it was a hectic home stretch. Handled graduation. We had a great year, and then was rewarded by having my hours and pay cut by a third.
Yeah.
So, yeah, good job.
What a bunch of dicks.
Yeah, so now it's half of what I was making like 4 years ago with the previous round.
Yeah. And you graduated a bunch this time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, almost 40.
Oh, man. These
so,
pricks.
I got another year out of it, but I don't know how many more.
Right. Well, coming from me, man, I think you're happening for the town, and our people want to get educated. I can't understand line of thinking from them, but I'm just glad you put your heart and soul into it, and it shows with the results.
Thank you.
Some of them clowns, you know, obviously got what's supposed to be the thinking part buried up to their shoulders somewhere.
Yeah, the clown part is running the show. But it was nice way to end
the
it was a nice way to end the semester going to see the Stooges on Saturday.
Right, a couple days later.
Yeah,
right.
That was a good time.
Queen Mary.
Yeah.
In fact, this time we were right in front of a boat.
Yeah, it was a cool setup.
It was a little too late for my mom. My mom was going to come. Oh, shit, I should say, what we played. Started off with John Coltrane doing Exotica, an alternate take, and then Sawako doing SE002, Dream 023. Sawako. Brother Matt, I should introduce for our listeners... our guest for this week, making the hell ride to Pedro, Kathy Pello.
So, welcome.
Hey, guys.
Thanks for coming to the Love Grotto.
Love coming to the grotto.
Right. Welcome.
You see you right up there?
Yeah. The Love Grotto.
That's if you forget. It glows in the dark, too.
Right on.
You went to the gig. And you got there just what? These dirt bombs.
Right in time for dirt bombs. We took a little water taxi trip over because the parking lot was full of car show, and the dome was full of car show. Checked out the dome inside the dome with Dale, Brother Dale. That was cool, right at the end.
So it wasn't just tattoos; it was cars too.
Yeah. I think there was even a stripper and pole dancer section too. But so it was a little something for everybody. Wild cars. Going into Queen Mary was like going in a beehive because there were like three or four levels of tattooing going on.
Inside the boat.
Yeah, so we're like hundreds of people getting tatted up. So just the grinding of the buzzsaw sound.
Wash this out of your life. Oh, speaking of which, I saw Hank there. He was, in fact, I saw him stageport when we were playing, too. He grew out his hair a little bit.
Yeah, I heard he was in Pedro the other day.
He was. You know what? He was filming at the old city building upstairs where the bars are, huh?
Yeah, okay.
The jails
are?
Yeah,
top floor.
Yeah. Some kind of history thing he's doing, some documentary, he told me. And maybe about before we were part of Los Angeles in our own town, that's when that building comes along. Although there used to be an old city hall, it's gone.
A little dome place right next door to that place, huh?
Right.
Yeah. I heard he was at Bad Fish. He popped into Bad Fish.
He went into Bad Fish. Yeah. That's on 6th Street, people. Yeah. That's got some records and...
Yeah, it's a cool place.
What else they sell?
Lots of cool shirts.
Did they sell fish?
I think they used to, when it first opened. But they got the cool shirts, like if you need a Minuteman shirt and didn't know where to get it, you go there. They usually got them.
Let's get on to our guests here. Sorry to freeze you out. You've got to catch up. Brother Matt has been so busy, I've had to do a lot of shows without him this year. But I've always wanted you on the show. We got a bunch of music she gave me from her label, okay? But I know these first three bands we're going to play because I've gotten to play with them. So you don't have to tell me a lot about them. And so I watch you from afar out of BC Shake and Terra Melos. things do remarkable. From and so I watch it from afar. That's Rory. Belfast, they came to my gig in February with the Italian guys, Sonia DeMarnio. They gave me a song, too, called Spider Box. He wanted me to put Spiel on. I have to do that. I really want to get to be part of their next album. A lot of these bands are instrumental bands. Mm.
Out of BC Shank.
Out of BC Shank.
Yeah.
Yeah, both her Irish bands are instrumental.
Well, and So I Watch It From Afar's new album has vocals on it, but they're still it's mainly still just real instrumental. Big, epic.
Okay.
A lot of riffs.
They want me on one called Spider Box, so I got to do that when I come back from this tour leg with Stooges.
Right on.
And then we heard At a BC Shank with Massa. I think Massa is the name of the sound man that both them and
Mike
share. Yeah.
Yeah.
Masayuki.
Yep.
He's a great cat.
Yeah. My bands always name songs after, like, tour managers. Russian Circles have a song called Miletic, which is named after their driver and tour manager out of Europe. Thomas. Wow. Yeah. You gotta give back to the people who take care of you.
Yeah.
Miletic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I see that, because you picked that, in fact, but that's later.
Yep.
And then finally we heard Sunburn by Tara Melos. Actually, they have a brand new album.
X'd Out, yeah.
Yeah, X'd Out.
I brought you a copy on CD, too, because I know you like the old
school. They gave it to me. I've been playing, maybe this is the fifth, sixth song I've played from. I really like it. I guess they made it a few months ago?
It came out.
And then they did a big
I never remember our own release dates. Yeah, they just did a really crazy tour, that headline tour that sold out every show was sold out, and that was with This Town Needs Guns with them for their first full U.S. tour. So it was real fun for Sergeant House too, because we love both those bands and the shows were amazing, and both their new albums are great.
You've been working with. We should start from the beginning. About the label.
Mm. Well, I mean, Sergeant House, what's different about us is I actually am a manager, and I started became a label because I like developing bands. I also like weirdo bands, and it got to the point where it was just like I couldn't even get a record label to put out the bands I liked. Like Tara Melos, you know, it was like Maps Analysis, all my early bands. It wasn't like easy to get a record label, and then it also just got to the point where it's so much better to put out the records with the artist when I have such a great respect for them and we have a mutual respect. I love being creative and how to market and, you know, promote the bands, but I also just have such an incredible respect for their aesthetic and how they want to be, you know, their music, and I don't get involved in, like, changing them. I get involved in loving them the way they are and then putting it out. So I just accidentally really started putting out their records.
From the management side.
Yeah, I mean, I started managing bands and, you know, signed them to labels or signed bands as a manager that were on labels, and got so frustrated because there was just so much bullshit and bureaucracy.
You want to, cut out all that crap.
Yeah, it's like, why do we need to keep asking permission to do stuff? And like, well, let's just control our art and, like, let's do interesting new things and modern things and not be caught up in record sales only, you know? Like, I'm more concerned with my bands touring the world and being able to grow a fan base and make a living as musicians than individual record sales. So I don't give a shit. If I have a new artist, I don't expect people like, oh, you're going to try this artist by buying a $9.99 record. It's like, here, take some music for free, you know, check it out.
Yeah.
You know, it's very, very different kind of way of dealing with the new reality, which is just, you know, and I like to think I pick really interesting and good and unique bands, and it's starting to, you know, really work because we just keep, you know, we're very consistent in, like, picking interesting stuff and stuff that is emerging that people are like, where the fuck did this band come from? Yeah. Which I love, you know?
Sure, it's beautiful.
Yeah.
The old reality, how did you get into management?
I've always actually been a manager. I just used to work I was a producer and worked in film. And I owned a company called New York Office, and I represented, you know, writers and directors, cinematographers, you know, movies and television and music videos and commercials. And so I always represented artists. And then I started a TV show because I always loved music. So I started a music television show when I moved out here. And I just wanted to feature all these amazing bands that I'd hear that and directors who were making great videos. But MTV wasn't playing anything good, you know. It was, so I made Refuse TV, and every time I'd feature an unsigned band, which I'd do every month, I'd say, wow, you know, like, you're so much better than the bands that labels are sending me to, like, you know, check out to put on the show.
Yeah.
And Kill Radio was this young band I really thought was amazing. They were like a young Clash to me, political, great grooves, amazing frontman, kids. And I just said, why don't you let me help you? And so by accident, I sort of managed them. I signed them to Columbia Records and then realized, wow, that's the worst thing you can do to a band, is like to take a band with a voice or a statement to make and then sign them to a major where they don't get it. Not to bash majors, but it was a great education. And that was the beginning of where I realized I'd really like to be able to have the control over how a record gets put out. And that's, then I started working with RX Bandits, who I'd met, and I'd always thought was a really great band, but really misunderstood, and everyone thought they were like a ska band on drive through, and they had, by that time, had become such a progressive, incredible musicianship band. And I got them off drive through and put out their record, like, again, as a manager, not as a label, to help them put it out the way they wanted it. And it just did so much better than them being on a label, and they finally got to make some money from their own music, and that's how it started.
RX Bandits. I played them on the show before.
Yeah, I mean,
we got some, not sunburn, sunbather. We got some other stuff here.
Sunbather is the title track off of a band that I only manage, which is only Boris is, I'm a label for Boris, and I don't manage them. You know, Tadashi, who's my partner in Japan, you know, you must know Tadashi. He does Disc Union, Stiff Slide, I mean, Daymare Records. He's Boris's manager, and we put out their records for them lately. And Death Heaven is a band I fell so in love with that I gave up my... I made an exception in this rule that I would manage this band, even though they're on Death Wish, which those guys are great props. But that's,
oh, so this record ain't on your label.
This is the Sergeant House is a management company. We just happen to put out all those records except this one.
Okay.
But this band is a band that I absolutely love, and it's part of the Sergeant House. That's our vibe, man. We find stuff that's great, and we made it, they were so good. We made an exception, or I did, and said I want to manage you anyway, even though you're a bunch of broke ass fuckers who play really heavy music. I love you. So that's what I did, and this record's doing incredible right now. It came out yesterday.
Yesterday?
Yeah. It's okay, already it like cool. Crazy.
Thank you. about the time that I got dipped in a cup of lies. Be my demise, love me in wine. Who's got the time?
Blood. There's the song, yeah.
That's Lar from Atabisi Shank.
Is that right?
Drums.
Because he's playing drums, right?
Yeah, you're going to like that.
I did one of his songs.
Super heavy bass.
Oh, wow. I think he just did a tour with them, too.
Yeah, and there's no guitar, just bass and synths
and drums.
Drums,
right, yeah.
And vocals.
We started off with Def Heaven doing Sunbather, and then Zorch doing This Is The Way It Goes, and then Shadows...
That's Marriages.
My name, Emma Ruth Rundle. And then No Spill Blood with No Retreat. And finally, Solid Gold with Mylitz. That's Henry, right?
Yep. Solid Gold, Majesty
Henry.
Machine.
Henry's like 18 years old or something and can play like a motherfucker.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, you wouldn't even know.
He's my teen prodigy. He's incredible.
Guys,
every day I sit
all
in.
All these cats can play, though, and all these bands. They all got their own styles.
It's my thing.
I really like it. But... Yeah, it'd be cool if you could tell people about these guys. Yeah, first Henry and Mylitz.
Henry is from Indiana, and I met him, funnily enough. It's like he sent me an email he was only 16, so he sent me an email asking if I could help him get into a Terra Mellis Maps Analysis show. Like and
guest list.
Not guest list, because it was 18 and up, and he couldn't get in.
Oh.
And just out of curiosity, I clicked on his little Bandcamp link. Like, he wasn't even asking me to listen to the music, and I was blown away. And I wrote to him, I was like, how can you be, what's this story? You need to stay in touch with me. And then he hit me up when he was 17, and he sent me, and he had done two new EPs that he just recorded by himself, everything by himself.
Wow.
And it blew my mind. And I said, you need to just get on a plane, dude. And I'm so proud of him. He's going on tour with him, so I watch you from
afar. So is Mylitz a real band, or is it just a monkier for him?
No, it's his moniker, but he sings and loops everything. You know, he's a live looper. Amazing guitar player. That's his whole band.
There is no
He makes every single instrument, yeah. He's amazing.
Like Cat Power.
He's
Although
amazing.
She's got a band.
She has a band when she tours.
Now.
Yeah, my friend Nico Turner is in that.
Piano, keyboard, but the rest are all ladies.
Yeah, Nico Turner is one of my friends is in that band. She's Cat Power.
She came by the Houston gig. They missed it. They couldn't get in on time, but at the very end they came. And
yeah.
All her band people are beautiful. Yeah. Before she had Judah and Jim White,
and
they were great too.
Yeah, I'm a big, it's like I love players, like, I feel like you have so many different styles bands, what's the genre? It's like great musicians.
But you know what, I come from the SST thing and we never had a label sound, every band had their own sound.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I like, it's like,
so tell us about
10 of the same
No Spill Blood, where are they from?
No Spill Blood are also from Ireland. They're from Dublin. And it's Lar from Atabisi Shank, which is so,
it's
of course.
He's a guitar man. This guy's incredible. He does loops.
And he plays
stuff
drums
too.
In this shit. And it was crazy because.
He's really young, too.
Yeah. He's a phenomenal. He just.
25.
He just did a tour with Fang Island in Europe, No Spill Blood. And he was playing bass. In Fang Island, then he played drums in No Spill Blood, and he plays guitar like a motherfucker in Atabisi Shank.
Wow.
He's so incredible.
I think they're almost, are they done with the new album?
They are supposedly, Vin says, supposedly that they're close. I can't wait to hear
Vin
it.
He burned himself, right? He dropped a candle or some shit.
Did he? I didn't hear about that.
Yeah, big old paraffin burn or something.
Wow.
Now those are bad, like flesh hanging off when I was there in March.
Yeah, it's extremely
tough. What can you tell me about? It ain't Lars band. Lars helping these cats out, right?
Well, no, it is now. It's the three guys. It's Lar and Rudin, who are in other bands, and Matt Hedigan, who sings and plays bass. And again, it has no guitar, and it's just really heavy bass, synth, and drum. Not dance music. No, not at all. No, it's not at all.
I played that beat.
No Spill Blood? No. I mean, it's just fucking awesome. It's hard, you know, just listen.
Disco rave. No, yeah, not that, but I thought it was...
So I met them by accident simply because Lar didn't even tell me about it because he thought, I'm not going to ask her, bug her, you know, it's a brand new thing. They played their first show. Someone filmed a video, put it up, and I was like, "Lar, excuse me, what the hell is this? And why don't I get it?" And he's like, "Oh,
that's
so
why
I put out the."
Was helping out.
Yeah,
there was a lack too. Like Mick didn't want to be touring at the time.
Yeah,
Lar's
it's like
a musical guy. He's got to go.
Yeah,
and
you
I
can't.
Think the music store job ended for him, so he just wanted to keep playing.
I mean, that's like the same. It's like Omar. It's like he can't not be making music. So if he's in a band with people who want to have a year off between touring, he just goes and keeps making music. Lar's the same,
Yeah.
He doesn't take a break.
Look, we got to take a break because we're at the end of the first hour of the Watt for Pedro show, June 12th, 2013. Oh, it's Kay's B-Day.
Oh, hey. 5-2. Happy birthday.
Happy B-Day, Kay. Hold tight for hour two with our guest, Kath. June 12th, 2013. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
Yeah.
Watch for Pedro show. Start off second hour with more Sergeant House music. It's been the Sergeant House show. Another mad with our guests.
You know I love to take over shit.
We started off with Galaxians by Boris. Then Bruce Lee from Indian Handcrafts. Flatlands from Chelsea Wolfe after that. And finally, Mother Father Set Us Free from Bosnian Rainbows. Now, before we learn about these bands, I want to know about two of the other bands from the last hour that I didn't get to because we ran out of time. One of them was called Emma Ruth Rundle, who I guess was from a band called the
Red Sparrows. Yeah. Emma, I'm extremely excited about. Emma's in three bands now of mine, which is, I met her when she joined Red Sparrows, the guitar player. And then her and Greg from Red Sparrows, bass man, created Marriages, which is a band that's incredible. We put out an EP of them. They're going to be recording a new album. And now Emma's doing a solo record. So the track I gave you is actually a special track. It's a Glassroom session where it was Marriages playing a song that is actually an Emma Ruth Rundle solo song. Glassroom is where we do these acoustic sessions at my house. It's a beautiful glassroom, and we've had so many amazing performances there. So we did a Glassroom session where they came in and they played a jam acoustic, which was possibly going to be a Marriages song, but it's really so much more of an Emma solo song, so that's going to end up being on her record. But that was Marriages playing the music with her. But they are not an acoustic band. They're actually going on tour with Deaf Heaven. They're more in the vein of Emma sings. It's amazing. It's a great band. Marriages is so worth checking out.
And I've played Red Sparrows before. They both were
there. Yeah, Red Sparrows is a fantastic instrumental band.
And then Zorch.
Zorch, I'm super excited about. Zorch is a new band to Sergeant House. They're a two-piece out of Texas. Originally, you know, one of them's from Canada, and they met in Boston or something, and they both ended up in Austin. These guys are incredible. I met them also. The first time we came across them really was Taramellis again, where we were looking for bands to play with Taramellis, and all the promoters were like, you got to get this band Zorch. And then I listened to a couple of tracks, like, wow, they sound really great. They played with Taramellis. Taramellis called me and said, that band rules. Like, they're fantastic. So I kept my eye on them. They didn't have a record. They just had some, like, you know, kind of rough sounding demos and stuff that they had put up on Bandcamp, but they hadn't put out a record. Then I saw them with my own eyes live, and I just was so stoked. And they sent me, they still didn't have an album. Then they finally just one day I got an email that said, hey, you know, here's our album. Will you take a listen? And it blew my mind, and I signed them that, like, that day. I called them and said, please. So that album comes out July 23rd. They're incredible. It's a drummer. He drums and he sings. And then Zach plays synths, keys, guitar, and sings. And it's insane to see. They just
Nobody's
do
on
so
bass.
Much. Nobody's on bass.
Nobody
well, bass, a lot
rock
of.
The bass.
Yeah, man, you know. Okay. No one can afford
or
the bass.
Or lone kick drum.
Or just a lot.
Well,
like
Lars got it in his, what's it called?
He's
no
only
blood.
Got bass. Yeah, No Spill Blood is only bass. Blood. Yeah. They have no guitar. Yeah.
That's fitting.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's about them bands. And about the stuff we played on the second hour. Now, I've played Boris before.
Well, Boris, you
and
know.
I might have played this tune, but they got different versions of this shit.
They're crazy. They,
right?
They're
they
crazy.
They called their album.
The same name. Heavy Rock, Heavy Rock, yeah.
Boris, guys go and name their album. I think they've done that a couple times.
It's really funny dealing with Boris because we get these, you know, we'll get these emails about like Boris records or Boris ideas, and it's just like, we want to put out two exactly, totally opposite records. One's going to be named the same. What the Heavy Rocks is going to be the Heavy Record, and it's exactly the same name, but it's the new Heavy Rocks. And on the same day we want to release the first record we're doing, that's like a dance record, you know, and it was like, but you know, that's
also
the kind of shit I love.
Also, to do with the spelling, right? If it's a little b,
yeah, they don't like you can't all cap them yeah. Or a little b. It's like if there's a, they have all sorts of strange code,
right,
but
they're
amazing.
Experimental, I think they do the little b
exactly.
But if it's rock and roll, it's, hard rock,
then it can be a capital B. So,
and
but
with all this like art. Looks like it came from a Yes album.
Yeah. Boris, though.
Yeah, bell bottoms and shit.
Yeah, Boris are incredible players.
I got to interview at Sewell.
Yeah.
In Atlanta, Georgia. And he told me they started as a hardcore band in the 90s, early 90s. He was the singer. And then he told me the drummer quit. And so, okay, I'll do drums. I said, well, where'd you learn the drums? He goes, well, I was watching Iggy dance. I said, what? I said, yeah. I learned drums. That's how he says he learned drums.
Watching Iggy.
This guy plays with the fucking...
He's amazing.
5 foot gong behind him. And, you know, and with the headset. Yeah. He's hollering with this...
Especially
the singer man, the bass man. I think anything goes.
Yeah.
He wants to...
I love Boris. We just put out a 7-inch split that they did with the Sobe Seksu, but they're working on some new albums,
Yeah.
But they were...
A couple of them, right?
What they were doing this last tour was they were doing two nights in each city, and they were playing, like, all time, you know, classic Boris, because they have, like, 50 releases,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
They've been a band for a long time. Yeah. But anyway, they...
Takeshi, too. I mean,
yeah,
they all look...
They all look exactly the same. A huge catalog.
No, Joe Baez. Joe Baez is... guitar player for Saccharine Trust. He goes way back.
Mm-hmm.
He's taught himself guitar 27. I think they're 003.
Yeah.
Or 004 with SST way back. He didn't even know who they were. He just heard about it. This is a guy who ended up transcribing Charlie Parker solos and stuff. And I saw him there. I was like, hey, Joe Baiza. And he goes, yeah, I heard about this band. They're supposed to be interesting, right? You know, he's in his 60s.
I love it.
But, yeah, he enjoyed it big time. And he had no idea about him.
Yeah. That's...
He's like from the old days. So if he hears about something, he'll just go check it out just like that.
That's awesome.
And I was trippy seeing him there. But
yeah,
it made a lot of sense. Indian Handcrafts. I don't know them.
Oh, my God. I love that band.
Well, what's your story?
Same thing. Two-piece, Canada. No bass. Guitar and drums. Both of them sing, and they're insane.
They're Canadians. Okay.
You should listen to it. The guys from Melvins are on the record, too. Like, it's very, really heavy, great riffs, really...
How'd you meet them?
A friend of mine was it was funny, because it was a friend of mine from Canada who was... who hadn't been managing for, had never actually used to work at Warner Brothers, and I knew her from back in the day, and she hit me up on Facebook, and like out of the blue, she sort of had dropped out of the music business, and all of a sudden she hits me up on Facebook, and she sends me a link to a video and goes, hey, check out this band I'm managing, and I got that dreaded, like, oh God, I love her, she's so great, I really don't want to bum her out, but man, I, you know, like when your friend's kind of out of this, hey, check out my demos, and you're like, oh God, so... I was petrified to watch it because I was like, I know it's going to suck. And then I got to come up with some, you know, nice way when it's impossible for me to, like, lie to say, like, oh, that's great, Jen, you know. And I literally pressed play and went, oh, my God. And I wrote to her and I said, Jen, how do I get this band from you?
Wow.
And
what part are they from?
They're from Barrie, Alcona Beach, Canada, next to Toronto, you know, Barrie. And they're
like
great
Ontario.
Guys. One of them, you know. And they are Indians. One of them is. And it's like, yeah, Indian Handcrafts. It's just fucking great. And Toshi Kasai, who does, you know, was in big business and does Melvins. And he did the record. He's perfect for the record. Dale and Cody played on it. Huh?
Omar's singer buddy, Cedric, was part of this project. I didn't even know. This guy named Christian played guitar. Remember we had Christian?
Yeah, you did it everywhere or anywhere?
Anywhere,
yeah.
Yeah, he says, hey, why don't you play
really
bass?
Good, yeah.
I did this, and this guy played drums.
Yeah.
And I found out later with Cedric.
I
didn't even know.
Yeah. I like that. I think that thing's on. Cedric's working on, has a new band with Juan, bassman from
Marshall. I heard it's kind of mellow.
Yeah. Well, I haven't heard it yet.
That's what
somebody
was telling me.
Yeah.
He's mellow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even know, but Toshi was the guy who ended up mixing that thing.
Yeah, uh-huh. I love Toshi. Toshi's great. He's done a lot of stuff for me.
I just did it to a favor for Christian. He's such a sweet guy.
Yeah.
Such hustle, you know.
Yeah.
His story came out from Florida. Some of these guys.
I know, they go
the way they work hard at music.
I know.
You wouldn't believe it. And he came out, and he ended up a guitar man. He was a drummer man.
Yeah.
He's got a band now called Peace Creep, I think, but...
Yeah.
It was a trippy album.
Yeah.
So when you said Toshi, because the time I saw him before that was with the Melvins. They were doing the big business.
Yeah. Yeah, Toshi was playing guitar in Big Business. Yeah, now Big Business has a different guitar player. I think they took the guy from 400 Blows. Is that right?
Is that right?
Who you? I'm not sure.
That guy's from Pedro.
Yeah, I'm not
Christian?
Sure.
Christian?
Christian's awesome, dude.
The guitar player.
He's a great guitar
Scott. I thought Scott was the only guy left in the band, even the drummer, the Filipino.
Yeah, I think Scott.
You know, guy got really sick and he got some adult measles thing where Mel's guy where he couldn't couldn't walk.
Yeah, it's fucking
blisters. Yeah, you want to get those things when you're little.
Yeah, Indian Handcraft's super super.
But no, they got Trevor Dunn on stand up bass.
Mm-hmm.
Melvins, yeah, they did like 50 gigs in 50 days.
50 gigs in 50 days, yeah, yeah. I love Melvins. Melvins just did a story for, you know, like there was an article that just came out. It was the 8 bands that influence Melvins, meaning it was an interview where they said, you know, we've influenced all these bands. Boris named themselves after Melvins.
Yeah, after their song.
They're such a huge influence on good music.
You know,
and
I think their first gig was opening for Minutemen.
I wouldn't be surprised.
It was at the Mountaineer Lodge in Seattle.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. But Melvins named Indian Handcrafts as one of the bands that they're influenced by. Like, that's one of their 8 favorite.
And they play on the record.
8 favorite new bands. Yep.
Are they old?
Indian Handcrafts?
Yeah.
No, they're like in their 30s, though. They don't see it. They have kids and stuff, which is why they don't tour. But don't tell anyone that's why they don't tour.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to get them to. Yeah, no, but they're always, you know, popping out those
and
kids.
And then Chelsea Wolfe.
Oh, she's
what's her story?
She's my female Johnny Cash. She's an incredible.
She's from Arkansas?
No, she's just an incredible, like.
Oh, Johnny's.
She's such an honest and real, like, songwriter, and then she's an incredible musician, both electric, acoustic, whatever. She plays guitar, she sings.
Where'd she come from?
She's from Sacramento.
Sacktown.
Yep.
Okay.
She lives now down here, but she's originally from Northern California. She is in an absolutely stunning voice and is going to be, you know, have gray hair and still be making records.
She's like Kato.
She's so full on. The song we played, though, was off her acoustic album, which is something that we did as a sort of, she was on a terrible label that was fucking the worst. Crook. Anyway, so we wanted to kind of have a transition before we put out LP3, and she had all these great songs that were orphans. So we said, you know, we're like, I love the acoustic stuff. Let's show another side of you, you know. So we did.
Like,
so that's an acoustic
track.
Yeah, she's a full-on rock band, yeah.
Okay, but this is like the...
Yeah, yeah. And so she... So that was from the acoustic album. Her new record, which is amazing, and I'll send you when it comes... It comes out September 3rd, and that's her rock. You know, that'll be back to that full band and the whole spiel. But she's an incredibly good artist that I'm super honored to have in my house.
Who's the guitar player from there?
Kevin Doctor plays guitar. And,
no, but
and
there's a lady
plays.
Guitar player from Sacktown that Nick Reinhardt told me about.
Oh.
Zach played with her.
Zach played with her?
Yeah, kind of.
Not Marnie Stern.
Yeah.
She's from New York.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
But she was living there or something?
No, just Zach and her Zach used to play drums on her records and produce her records, but they don't, you know, now that Zach's in Death Grips, he doesn't do anything outside of Death Grips.
Oh, okay.
So her new record,
so
she's on Kill Rock Stars.
That was her only connection to Zach?
Yeah.
Was Zach.
Yeah.
Zach was the only Zach.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a Zach.
I don't know. These are younger people, and I'm trying to get
Marnie's, love Marnie. She's great. And her new record doesn't have Zach on it, and so now, you know, it's like... That's
Death Grips is the rapper guy, right?
Yeah.
That he's with, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
They had some drama with the label, I think.
Yeah. They like drama.
Yeah. That's okay.
Drama's
and
fun.
And then finally, Bosnian Rainbows. You kind of hinted it. It's Omar's new band with Terry.
It's not, I hate when people say it's Omar's new band. It's a band that came about. Well, it's Omar, Dee, Terry, and Nikki's band. You know, it's that thing where you start to groove with people, and before you know it, you're like, hey, man, let's do songs
together. Well, I know
together.
Terry had Arnett playing bass.
Arnett. Omar was playing bass. Omar.
Arnett was writing all the songs. Yeah. Well, Omar was playing bass for the Butcherettes.
Omar discovered Terry, and that's how I met Terry. Is he found her in Guadalajara.
Yeah.
at our, like his friend Cesar, who is works with us too, you know, he brought Omar to go see La Butcherette, and it was just two girls.
Yeah.
And there was no electricity and stuff. It went out, so they thought, oh, the show's going to get canceled. And Tara just grabs a bullhorn and becomes Terry. She's just so naturally and honestly that. And he just is like, I want to meet those. Those girls were amazing.
Yeah.
So he produced their record, and he recorded Down in Mexico with them and played bass on it, and then introduced them to me, and I started managing Terry, and the girl left, and we had Hishki and Gabe, Serbian, and then now she's got, like, the right, you know, Leah, who's, you've met, the blonde drummer, Leah Braswell, amazing, another, like, prodigy musician to me. I met her as a really young girl. She's still a young girl.
That band's still going then. She didn't leave it.
Oh, no, not at all. It's still going. It's just not touring. Yeah.
Okay.
So, you know, there's a new La Butcherette record, which is amazing. And that's going to come out next year when this is all done.
Yeah.
But we're also talking about putting out a La Butcherette's live record. We have a great live recording from Portugal that we're talking about putting out so that La Butcherette's fans, because it's got some new songs in it live. And then, you know, while Bosnian Rainbows is touring and doing their thing, then when that starts to go into, you know, the next record for them, we'll do a La Butcherette's tour and we'll put out the record. But La Butcherette's, Leah is a really talented player. I met her through some kid that I signed and dropped immediately because he was insane, but I got her out of the deal. I met her and said, lose that guy, let's go. And so Omar loved her. You know, it was actually even Omar's idea. Like, we were talking about drummers. He's like, what about that girl from, you know, that band Therapy Son? And I was like, oh my God, that would be amazing. I didn't even know he had clocked watching how good she was, you know. So that's that. And Bosnian Rainbows is D'Antoni, one of the greatest drummers on the planet. He drums for Kale, John Kale, Michelle Nadegavizello. Like, he is an incredible fucking legendary and such a unique drummer. And Omar had always wanted him to be the Mars Volta drummer. He'd always say, no, you know, like, I'm busy. I do other stuff. I don't want to be pinned down. And I'm not into dictatorship, so I'm not going to go be someone's bitch. But the last record, he was the drummer. They was a much more collaborative Volta record. He was a drummer, and in that process, Omar and him got really tight again because they can't, both of them just always making music. And Terry was around because La Butcherette's was on tour with them, and they just started riffing off each other. And then Nikki, who's really tight with Dee, and it became this foursome that just loves, really works. So it's not work, you know, it's just like natural language amongst them. They're crazy to watch when they're all together. It's like watching these, like, four naughty kids just laughing and having the best time. I'm like, they're like little kids now, you know?
Yeah,
it's like they found their little soulmates, you know?
Yeah, but did it wreck Mars Volta?
Because
Cedric kind of said something like that.
Yeah, I mean, that's such a personal thing. Like, that's two brothers, like, who really are, like, love each other, and that was a hard thing. Like, you know, Omar doesn't go on Twitter and Facebook and all that shit and to find out that Cedric basically went on Twitter and broke up Mars Volta, because that wasn't the agreement. You know, the agreement amongst them was, hey, let's have time off. Let's each do our own thing and kind of get headspace away from the Volta. Like, let's like renew our friendships by getting away from each other for a little while. And then Bosnian, you know, we put out the first single, Enemy. It was the day we put out the first single, and Enemy was like, new song from Omar, you know, his new band. And he just went on Twitter and said, fuck him, you know. It was sad, and I don't want to talk about it because it's not anyone's business, and they love each other.
No, Brother
so
Matt.
One day they're going to get back together in some way. That's all I can say. I don't know when it
Brother
will be.
Brother Matt's got this part of the show where he does music on the fly.
Go for it.
It's Brother Matt's spin cycle. So
sweet.
I didn't want to bog us down too much with that stuff.
Yeah, good.
They're both beautiful guys.
They are both beautiful guys.
So, Brother Matt.
Got a little fresh spangle to start things off.
Some
thank you.
is a story about a museum of consciousness.
Thank you. The last days of the suicide kid. I can see myself now. After all these suicide days and nights, being wheeled out of one of those sterile rest homes. Of course, this is only if I get famous and lucky. By a subnormal and bored nurse. There I am, sitting upright in my wheelchair. Almost blind. Eyes rolling backward into the dark part of my skull. Looking for the mercy of death. Isn't it a lovely day, Mr. Bukowski? Oh, yeah, yeah. The children walk past and I don't even exist. And lovely women walk by with big hot hips and warm buttocks. And tight hot everything. Praying to be loved, and I don't even exist. It's the first sunlight we've had in 3 days, Mr. Bukowski. Oh, yeah, yeah. There I am, sitting upright in my wheelchair, myself whiter than a sheet of paper, bloodless, brain gone. Gamble gone. Me, Bukowski, gone. Isn't it a lovely day, Mr. Bukowski? Oh, yeah, yeah. Pissing in my pajamas, slop drooling out of my mouth. 2 young schoolboys run by. Hey, you see that old guy? Christ, yes, he made me sick. After all the threats to do so, somebody else has committed suicide for me. At last. The nurse stops the wheelchair and breaks a rose from a nearby bush. Puts it in my hand. I don't even know what it is. It might as well be my pecker for all the good it does. Suicide kid. I can see myself now. After all these suicide days and nights, being wheeled out of one of those sterile rest homes. Of course, this is only if I get famous and lucky. By a subnormal and bored nurse. There I am, sitting upright in my wheelchair, almost blind, eyes rolling backward into the dark part of my skull, looking for the mercy of death. Isn't it a lovely day, Mr. Bukowski? Oh, yeah, yeah. The children walk past, and I don't even exist. And lovely women walk by with big hot hips and warm buttocks. And tight hot hips, praying to be loved. And I don't even exist.
And overseas tonight, anti-government demonstrators in Egypt accused the government of shutting the internet, cell phones, and the
foreign ministry. American
protesters already a million government ministries have called for a million-person march, and Egyptians have answered in
huge numbers. And while the U.S. government is officially not taking sides in this crisis, we certainly have a lot riding on the outcome.
أيها الإخوة المواطنون، إن خيط الرفيع يفصل بين الحرية والفوضى. يفصل بين الحرية
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much. What was your inspiration?
Well, it had motivation. The Fresh Bongle and Bukowski mashup. I want to slip in there. And then the rest was just kind of when I was putting the songs on there, I was checking out the Madness in Turkey. Whatever's going on there. They got some protests.
Istanbul and Ankara. People are upset.
Yeah.
And they want the boss to listen up. And he wants to
hose them down.
Hose them down. But we're at the end of the second hour. June 12, 2013 edition of Watt from Pete Rochow, our guest, Kathy Pello from Sargent House. More with her. Hold tight. Hour three. June 12, 2013, it's third hour with Watt from Pete Rochow.
Yeah.
Pedro Show, third hour, started off with This Town Needs Guns and a tune called Left Line. You started to say something about these cats. I saw them play with Terramelos. Who else did I see? Boris?
Yep, Boris. We had five bands playing. I saw Hishke's Evie Kane, which was great.
I saw the end of him. But they were on the show right before.
Yep.
They drove up from Pedro.
Yep, yep. So it was...
Evie Kane. Yeah, big drummer man.
Yep.
John.
Yeah, he's great. That's a fun band. We had...
The girlfriend's the drummer lady.
The girlfriend's the drummer lady.
Isn't she?
Of who? Of which one? Hishke or the drummer?
No, John. There's
John's
another
girlfriend?
Connection. Yeah, they were telling me. I can't remember, so I don't want to pass on any accurate information.
Yeah, no.
But This Town Needs Guns.
Now called TTNG.
TTNG.
For short, and to not get brutalized.
Yeah,
because
I asked one of them, the mustache man.
He's new, and he never liked that name. He's like, people don't get that old joke, you know.
I said, well, this town maybe might not
need any.
Need more. Not
yeah.
any. More
I call him this town needs grapefruits, yeah.
I've been robbed here in Pedro with the gun.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, I told him that, and he said, what was it like? He said, not too happy. Yeah, I was really scared. He was young.
Yeah, that was the night we had a full-on Sergeant House bill on both floors. Boris, Marriages, and Death
Echo
Heaven.
On Echoplex.
On Echoplex. And then Terramelos and This Town Needs Guns and Evie Kane, who aren't mine but are very good friends, and I love them. Or Hishke is my... used to live at Sergeant House.
Well, they didn't have the guitar man, but their Sacktown band. Or actually, he's not. He's from... Nebraska originally via Chicago. And, But the other two guys are.
Yeah.
And, actually, they weren't from the town. They're outside.
Grass Valley.
Right, like the Terramelos guys were. Boys.
Yeah.
What they call the valley or something.
Grass Valley.
Yeah, with Jonathan Richmond.
That's where Spencer from Hella lives, too, yeah.
US 50. It's on the way to Reno and Tahoe. What's it called? I-80. Daughter Pass.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That can be iced up in August.
Yeah.
That can be iced up in August.
It's crazy. Nevada, they had to get Chinese guys to build the railroad. Nobody could build that railroad when we were trying to connect the whole dealio.
I saw the Grateful Dead play Daughter Pass one time. They said it was the highest the Dead's ever been.
Wow. Yeah, the highest the Dead's ever been.
I don't know about that. I saw somebody showed me a video about Jerry talking about punk rockers.
You know, I made a documentary.
Or New Wavers.
You know, I made
maybe
a...
Maybe said punk.
I made a documentary called Tie-Dyed about... I went on tour for six whole summer tour, the last tour of the Grateful Dead. I made a documentary about the Deadheads.
Cool.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was crazy. I tripped a lot.
How long ago?
It's fun.
I was 92, 91.
You were like a spinner?
No, I wasn't at all. I was
a
filmmaker, and I just actually thought it was incredible, like the subculture that they had created.
Yeah,
I thought
culture.
Was amazing. Yeah,
they had 100 shows.
So it was really fun.
Right, brother Matt.
Really fun.
Yeah, 100 shows.
Yeah. Hey man, that's how it worked. There hasn't been a band like that since. You know, where it's just like became this. They were the first ones to understand, like, give your music away, and you'll have people at your shows. Mm-hmm. So that goes back to what we were talking about earlier. Like, what's the difference, Sergeant House? Hey, man, you let people hear the music, and your shows will get filled when you're a good band. Create a vibe. Grateful Dead?
Yeah, right.
What name? My name?
They were the Warlocks, right?
Oh, they were called the Warlocks, yeah.
No.
Sergeant House?
Yeah.
Sergeant House is the name of my house.
We talked enough about Grateful Dead.
Yeah, seriously. Sergeant House is named after the actual house. I live in a 1920s, like, old, crazy, you know, four-story house in the hills.
Some guy named Sergeant built it?
No, it's a historical house, and its historical name was Sergeant House.
It must have been some family name, maybe.
Yeah.
Because it's not spelled like the military.
No, it's spelled S-A-R-G-E-N-T, yeah.
Okay, well, that clears up that mystery.
Because, you know, the logo is some cat hanging from puppet strings.
Now that's kind of scary. Omar and Sonny made that. That's the new logo. And that's because they said, you're fucking fearless. You'll jump. You'll just go for it.
Oh, okay.
And so they just had the falling man, so like, not afraid to jump.
You know, George really saw somebody picking their ass. He'd go, hand puppet.
Hand puppet.
It's your own hand puppet.
Yeah.
So tell us about this or TTNG. They're the only England band you have.
They're the only English band I have. They're actually coming back in October.
How'd you find them?
I found them a long time ago. I signed them a long time ago. Just
what,
her
18th century? I mean, that's a long time.
Well, yeah. I mean, I've only been I didn't even start putting out records till 2006, and then and really didn't put any other records out till 2008, and I put theirs out, which had come out in England. And I just had heard it, and I thought they were really great, and I signed
them. Oh, this is when they were the four-piece.
Yeah, and had the different singers. So I've put out Animals, and I put out a 7-inch of theirs, which was the last one with Stu singing, and now this new record with Henry.
How did you find out? Were they teenagers then?
Yeah, I'm good at that. I mean, look at Henry. Henry, yeah. I found him at 16. I just find
he was asking
really
to get in on a gig, so part of it's his fault.
I know. Well, I was. Hey, man, that's how things happen, you know? It's like,
yeah, right.
When you're not looking for it is when the beautiful gifts arrive, you know? It's like, if you're out, you know, this band
trying to get last week's
they're constantly begging me. They almost turn me off, you know, before I even can hear them, you know? I got to hear things naturally for it to, like, and it's so instant for me. It takes me 30 seconds of the first song.
Were you over there?
And I'm in it.
Did they send you a tape or?
I had heard about them word of mouth. They were playing with fans of mine, and I checked them out, and I liked them, and they liked what I had. So, you know, they're like Terramellos. Like they have that mathy vibe, maps and atlases I had. So it was like they're in that same school. So
kind of.
Yeah. Well, more maps and atlases than Terramellos.
Yeah.
But, yeah. But they have their again. Everyone, they're all unique. You know. So
yeah,
I don't like to have. I don't have. You know, duplicate bands.
Or not one band, one sound. Many
yeah.
Bands.
I don't have duplicate bands. So I've been with them for
branding,
a long time.
Sound of the label. Huh?
Yeah, I don't like that.
Me either.
The branding
What's
of my
VSS
label
about?
Is
about.
Dude, VSS is one of the best punk bands ever. I reissued Nervous Circuits. It's Sonny Kay, who used to own GSL. He was also in Angel Hair. And then Dave Clifford, who was the drummer in Red Sparrows, he's the drummer in VSS. Therefore, this record came out in like 97. And I reissued a special reissue on vinyl. And it's freaking amazing. It's very much the band that No Spilled Blood is influenced. Super, lots of synths. It was like back in the day that like they'd be playing with like Fugazi and shit like that. Sonny was, they were from Colorado. It's awesome.
Oh, they were Colorado people. What they ended up moving here.
Sonny moved here and started Gold Standard Labs.
Yeah.
You know, and you know the label Omar used to have with them, and that's how I met Omar. But yeah, VSS was Sonny's band when he was, you know, a youngster, and it's fucking one of my favorite bands.
So this is actually
I reissued this record, and this is a song from Nervous Circuits.
Death Scene by the VSS.
Fucking great.
And Melodic by Russian Circles. They're Seattle?
Melodic is Russian Circles are actually, two guys are from Chicago, and Bassman, Brian, again, massive fan of yours, and freaking amazing Bassman. He was in a band called Botch, and then he was in a band called These Arms Are Snakes, which was one of my bands, and Russian Circles wanted to get rid of their bass player, and I put them together, saying, hey, maybe Brian can play bass on your record, and we'll figure out who's going to be the bass player, and they ended up like having such
band.
A good time, they just and now they're just that's just the unit, and now These Arms Are Snakes are no more, and that's his only band, and it's an incredible trio. He was from Seattle though, so but now he's moved to New York, so that's Chicago and Brian's in New York now, and they just finished recording at Electrical in Chicago.
Steve Albini.
Well, they didn't do it with Albini; they did it with.
But it's a studio.
Yeah, Brandon Curtis. Who's done their last three albums, Who's the Cat, in Interpol, and he's in Secret Machines, it's his band. They did it, and Greg Norman was an engineer who just did my Native record. Good dude out of Chicago, really good engineer, works at electrical and produces and mixes and stuff too. But he was the engineer, and Brandon Curtis produced it, and that new record comes out in October, and they're just monsters. They're one of my favorite, all-time favorite bands of all time.
Okay.
Also instrumental, very heavy.
Right, right.
But like classical music. To me, they're modern-day Wagner, you know.
Yeah, sort of like Godspeed, the Black Emperor.
Yeah, different though. I mean, again, I don't pick stuff that sounds like anybody else.
Say they were exactly
to
like
me,
them,
they're
epic.
It's, yeah, epic and, you know.
Instrumental.
Just powerhouse. Cinematic. Yeah, so cinematic, so yeah. Cinematic.
And then finally, another tune from Mylitz.
Because he's my kid.
Hungover Tehran. Has he been to Tehran before?
No. Hungover Tehran is from a different EP, but I just think the kid is like, he's an artist I'm so freaking excited about. He's just so talented and so, like, I'm excited to see where he goes.
He brought all this music.
Yeah.
I got some we're going to play here, some new stuff that I found.
Sweet.
And so it'll be our last bit of music, and then we'll talk
nice.
Again one more.
Alone when the time is long and you feel alone, yeah, sing your song and you'll country is beat down.
All we get from life is dashed hopes, mangled and bungled dreams. Is this good or bad?
Not a sin, but
Music stuff I got that's new. Snore with Country Beatdown. After that, Life from Spielgusher. Take In by Pollard. A Few Things at Once. New album by Holly Reeve, bass man from Scotland. Incredible guy. Work Your Brains Out by Glimpse Trio. Walking by Solo Musica. I tell you, you didn't see her.
Right. I didn't see her either.
Swampland, Best Laid Plans. Frightwig, they're back. Eric Drew Feldman did their new Crazy World. Used to play with those guys 20 years ago. They're back. Eric Drew Feldman producing. And finally, Trashy Talk with Bottle O' Corn. For the man, let's thank our guest, Kath, for coming aboard,
nice
bringing all this bitch of music.
Thank you, guys.
Briefly, future, more good music.
Nothing but good music.
Advice to somebody getting into this racket?
Be good, be unique, don't steal other people's shit, and then do it worse.
Okay.
That's my advice. Keep it real.
Right. And I wish you so much luck with the Sergeant House and all the bands and everybody with their journeys.
Thank
finding
you.
Finding their inner voices and helping them out.
You've been such a huge inspiration to so many of my players, I'll tell you, because you're an incredible player, but you also you're just down to earth, and that's our biggest philosophy, as well as, you know, not just good musicians, good people. That's what Sergeant House is. Like you. Like the Watt. Bass man.
Thanks, Gab. You know. Brother Matt, thank you for your always essential aiding and abetting.
Pleasure.
I'm going to see you in a few weeks because I got to go tours. But it's really been our honor to have you aboard, Gab.
Thanks for letting me into the Love Grotto.
Brother Matt's going to leave the Love Grotto.
Yep. Getting off the island. You're to another island.
All right. But you'll be back when I'm back, middle of July.
Yeah.
I think I got asked to play on the new El May
album. Oh, cool.
When I come back.
Cool.
Okay. Everybody, it's been June 12th, 2013 edition of Watt from Peter Show. Thanks again, Kath, for coming aboard. Other Matt.
Yeah.
Everybody, keep your powder dry.
Yeah.